Hello and welcome to the Healthy Hustlers podcast. We're your happy hosts, Amy and Madeline, best friends who work hard and hustle harder. We believe to be happy and healthy in your work, you need to be happy and healthy in your life.
Through storytelling, we combine health, well-being and business with a fresh perspective to share the stories of normal people with inspiring lives. From leading entrepreneurs to athletes, models and artists, together we delve deep into their journey to success to find out why health and well-being is the core of their philosophy.
Whether you're looking for advice and guidance for leading your best life, an engaging, easy-to-digest pep talk, or a boost of healthy enthusiasm to fuel your health and wellness goals, the Healthy Hustlers podcast is your go-to for kicking ass in work and play. Laura Henshaw and Steph Claire Smith are much more than pretty faces. This unstoppable duo are the brains behind online health and wellness program Kick, which supports girls all across the globe with their health and wellness goals. The young duo, who started their career as models, have overcome their own personal struggles with body image and eating disorders. Today, their online program takes a holistic approach, incorporating clean eating, exercise, and mindfulness programs so their global community can be the best version of themselves. With over 1.5 million Instagram followers between them, this happy, humble, and energetic duo are a force to be reckoned with. We delve deep into a heartfelt conversation about self-love, body confidence, and the importance of balance. Hi girls, welcome to the Healthy Hustlers podcast. We are so excited to have you here today. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's kick off by hearing about your happy place. Where do you go to unwind and reconnect?
Well, thank you for having us, first of all. I suppose my happy place and Laura's are quite different, which is cool, but mine is definitely up in the country near the Murray River. I grew up camping there with my family, and it's just when I think of somewhere where happiness and warmth is, it's the Murray River. And when I lived overseas in the past, I've missed the Murray probably more than anything.
Mine, this is Laura, by the way. You didn't introduce yourself.
Oh.
Anyway, mine is different. Mine is the beach, and I've actually just moved down to the beach recently, which has been really amazing. I just find it so relaxing and calming for me, and jumping into the water and going for a swim, I don't know what it does. It just makes me feel so balanced and de-stressed. I don't know. It's like a magical water for me, the beach. So, yeah, definitely the beach.
That's awesome. That's really funny because Amy's happy place is a river and I'm a beach girl. So we can definitely relate to both of those.
I'm from near the Murray River and it's my definite happy place. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something about it. I don't know whether it's like the birds' noises in the morning or what it is, but it's just so quiet and beautiful up there.
It's incredible. You are the co-founders of online health and wellness program Kick, as well as models. Can you give us a sneak peek into your journey so far?
Oh, this is a long one. Mm. Do you want to start?
Yeah, okay, sure. So I started modeling. This is Steph. For those of you who don't know my voice, I started modeling. I did actually for a few years when I was in primary school, really young, at like 8 to 12. And then I stopped during high school, started again when I left high school because I wasn't really sure what I wanted to study yet. So, but modeling was always in my mind of something I wanted to give a go. So I had a gap year after high school and luckily got signed with Chatties and started working quite often, often enough that I had to quit my part-time job at Boost at the time. So it was really cool. I was had a lot of good regular clients and really enjoyed it in my first year. And it got to the point where in the second year, I was like, yep, this is something I want to do. I want to keep doing. And I started to see different pathways that I could go from there. But really at the start, it was all about modeling. That was my passion. And the kind of healthy living sort of side of it came in, I suppose, through modeling. You obviously have to keep your body in check and in a healthy state and everything. And for me, when I was about 18, which is also when I started modeling, my metabolism started to slow down. My body started changing heaps. And I wasn't used to that. Like, I got away with eating quite a lot of junk food when I was younger, but I was a very sporty kid. And so going from that to then modeling and being concerned about the way I looked and my body changing, it was quite a bit of a shock. And so it took me a while to find, I suppose, that balance in like healthy eating and exercise. And so that's probably a story we can go into later, that journey. But a couple of years later, I met Laura and we met at Melbourne Fashion Week. And we just got along really, really well. Haven't been able to shake her away since.
I use that joke every time. I'm going to. It's good.
It's a thing. And then we just had similar interests when it came to health and well-being and everything. And Laura had a blog at the time, which obviously she'll talk to you about. But it was very similar to the way I was cooking. It was just very balanced and healthy, but tasty, and people just wanted to know what we're eating. They just wanted to know what we're putting in our dinners or what treats we're having and all that sort of stuff. And that's how we came up with the idea to do an ebook and keep it clean. That was now 3 years ago that we created that. So between then and now, it's been quite a crazy journey. I reckon Laura can dive into that one for you, but yeah, it's been crazy. It's really hard to look back and think of the kind of 18-year-old that started modeling. She would have never ever imagined that there'd be products in Coles with her name on them or like a program that people were following. It's just, it's really, really crazy, and it's very pinch myself nearly every day these days, so it's cool.
Yeah, so my journey started when I started modeling when I was 19. So mum said I had to finish school first. So I was approached a few times when I was younger, but then I thought when I got to 19, I thought I was too old to start modeling. I just had this thing in my head that you had to be like 15 and really, really skinny. And anyway, I ended up joining an agency when I was 19, and that for me was was really good while I was at uni, because I mean the pay is really great, and so it was always a side project for me. I've never really had been a strong commercial model or a strong editorial model, and I mean that's just reality. Obviously there's some really strong girls in Melbourne, and I mean Melbourne is such a small industry, there's only a few girls that work all the time, so for me it was always kind of a side thing that was just a bonus while I was waitressing and then at uni. But when I was, how old was I? I think I was 21. I went to Milan to model, or maybe I was 20, I can't remember. Went to Milan to model, and I had to defer uni for the semester. And I was so used to studying and working at night, I didn't know what to do with my time. And I also had a bit of a passion for health and wellness. And I actually am studying law and business at uni, but I wish I didn't. I mean, I am going to finish my degree, even though it's been going for 8 years now. But I originally had my first preference down as dietetics. And when I got my ATAR back and I got into law, which I never thought I would be able to do, I automatically thought, oh my God, I got a score good enough to get into law, so I should do law. And that was literally my thought process, which is, I look back now and I mean, it would have been really handy to have my dietetics degree, but that's okay. So anyway, it has helped us a lot with our business, I suppose. Yeah. But yes, I'm still going on that. And while, so that was my passion, was healthy living, and I've grown up in a really healthy family, so that was great. But I had, I suppose, a little bit of a voice in my head, and I think that was from people around me, and that's something that I've learned, that people like to see you as something. And for that, for me, it was a uni student and a waitress. And I started posting things on my Instagram, like a few smoothies and hashtagging like greens and healthy. And I used to go into my restaurant where I was working each night, and all the guys there, like it was all like just humor. They didn't mean it in any way, but they used to just bag everything that I did in a funny way. Like, oh my God, why are you doing that? Why are you hashtagging your smoothies? Like, etc. And I think because of that, I had this voice in my head the whole time that, oh, I wanted to start a blog, but I suppose I just didn't have the confidence to do it because I had this voice in my head of people telling me that, oh, not that they meant it, but just, oh, can you really do that? And I think that I'm really happy that I overcame that and just started. I think that's the biggest thing in business, is just start. No matter what anyone says, if you want to do it, just do it. So I started my blog, which I worked on while I was away. We have Ari here.
Yeah, sorry if you can hear him squeaking in the background.
And from there, Steph, when I came back, and Steph and I, which we'll talk about later, both had a lot of body pressure on us when we were modeling overseas. So we kind of really connected in that way. And then when we came back, Steph said to me, why don't we do, I think Steph had a dream that we made a book together. That was literally how the conversation started. This is true. And I, at the start, was kind of like, Steph, no one is going to want to buy like any of my recipes. And that's ridiculous. Like it was hard for me to get the confidence to even start a blog and give my recipes away for free. Cause I was like, who's going to even read them? Let alone who is going to buy them. Anyway, Steph convinced me that we could do it. And we did it, and I think our ebook is a perfect example of, again, just starting.
Yes, it definitely is.
It is so funny when we look back on it now. We shoot food all the time, and obviously you have a food stylist, you have a chef who's cooking all your recipes, and then we do the, then you have a photographer, and we had no one. We had ourselves, we had Steph's beautiful mum, Wendy, and we had a fashion photographer. So we made all the recipes ourselves. We had 37 recipes, so we literally had to make some of them 3 days before because we didn't have time.
Which did mean that they looked quite slimy and disgusting.
So the banana bread, for example, we made 3 days before. And we used flash photography because we were shooting from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m, so we didn't have consistent natural light. So when you do a flash on a slimy banana bread, it looks pretty revolting. Anyway, so we ended up, we did that, and we just had no idea. And when we told people we shot all the recipes in one day, they were like, what, are you crazy? But we just didn't know. I suppose, yeah. I think this is an example of being naive was actually worked to our advantage, because if we had have known what you were meant to do, we probably wouldn't have done it. So we released it, and then the next day, or I think it was that night, we got a message from Steph's mum. Have you spell checked this or checked it?
We're yes.
Like, what?
Yeah.
So it was already uploaded. It had already, I think it already had it started selling at that point.
No, 100%. We'd literally already started selling it, and my mum messaged us saying, congratulations, girls, but I'm just having a read through now. Do you mind if I just send through some things? Because I'm just not sure if you guys have spell checked this. And we kept, we just kept getting text messages throughout the night. And every time we would just look at each other like, oh my God. It was not just spell checks, but it was like we would forget to mention an ingredient in the ingredients list, but then suddenly it was in the methods. Like it was just...
It was a bit of a disaster. Yeah. Anyway... but we fixed the spelling errors by the...
That's a good thing about it being an ebook and not a hard copy book. You could definitely go and edit
from
it.
From the people that bought it that night.
Yeah, apologies to the... apologies.
I mean, that's what makes it special, though. So after that, we got a really amazing response, and we didn't expect it at all. We were just so overwhelmed by how many we sold, and we found that one of the reasons we think that it sold really well and did really well was... girls were making our recipes, and they were making it. And what I found was when we did the ebook was that all the books available, you had to go spend $300 at the health store, and then you took 3 hours to make this peppermint slice that looks like just a pile of mush. And you just felt so disheartened. So our recipes are so easy and so simple, and need only basic ingredients. Mm. We're obviously not chefs. And so people were making our recipes, and they were like, oh my God, my photo looks better than the girl's photo, so I'm going to post it. And I think that's what really helped us.
That was great. All the girls have started posting. It was nice. We didn't even have to ask for it.
And yeah, so that's how our ebook started. And then from there, I think we really wanted to work on something in a way that we could connect with an ebook, you release it and then it's kind of done. So we wanted to create a website or something where we could talk to the girls and connect with our community and grow more of a community on a more regular basis. So we started a website, which was keepitcleaner.com.au. Mm-hmm. When we look back on that now, we probably didn't offer enough value to our community. And we were, I think it was 3 recipes a month and 1 workout. And it just wasn't enough. And blog posts, which at the time that was all we could do. And we were just trying as hard as we could. And I mean, we still had so many girls supporting us, which was amazing. But to then be able to turn that into the program, which is what we kind of always wanted to do, to offer a workout every day, a PT, recipes
24/7 support, like both from us and the Kick Squad. It's just been, it's like a dream what it's become.
Yeah, it really is. So that, I mean, it's, and then we have products in the supermarket, which is just amazing. We just can't even believe the support that we have received from it. And I think it's a really good example, especially our journey of how we just started. And, you know, we released this book, which literally we look back on now, and we're like, this is, I mean, we don't want to call it ugly because we still love it, but it's probably the worst looking cookbook we've ever seen. But we just did it. Yeah. And if we had a, you know, if I had have listened to the people at my workplace and not done anything with my passion, or if, you know, Steph hadn't convinced me that we could sell our recipes and they were good enough, and if we hadn't just done the ebook, even though we had no idea how to do it, I think we learned how to do an ebook by Googling how to make an ebook.
Yeah.
That's literally.
And I think it's just like the most important thing that we try and say for like starting a business and everything is to, if you're going to start something, it's got to be something that you're super passionate about, that you really believe in. And you know, then whether or not it goes well or not, if it's something that you were really passionate about, you won't be too, I don't know, I suppose disheartened. If you're just doing something for money and like fame or whatever, and then it doesn't work out, that can be a little bit of a stab in the gut. So if you put everything into it and you're expecting just to make bazillions of dollars and you don't, like, that can be hard. But I suppose for us it was just a hobby at the start, something that we really wanted to just share because people were asking for it, and it just made us feel happy, and it was cool to do. And now it's like it's turned into a business, which is crazy but cool.
Really, but yeah, cool. It did start as a passion, which is why it is really important to make sure. I honestly have not met a successful person yet that did not have passion for what they were doing before they started it. Ari! You have to have passion. And I mean, I was giving away free recipes for such a long time before we even released the ebook. So I think you have to be really, you have to love what you do enough to be able to do a lot of it for free before you make $1. And that for us, because it was our hobby on the side, that was okay. And I think that's why people still say to us, what you do is so real, and that's why they connect with us and want to be a part of it. And I think that comes from the fact that we started it as a hobby and a passion. And I mean, that's still number one for us, is that we enjoy it so, so, so much, and it doesn't feel like work. And while it has become our job, which is just amazing, like we pinch ourselves, as they've said, every single day, it did start as the passion.
Yeah, that is awesome. I absolutely love that story. We were seriously had tears rolling down our eyes, down our face, sorry. Yeah, there we go. But funny enough, I actually bought your first ebook, and I did not notice your spelling mistakes, so don't worry.
Well, thank you.
Your mum is much more observant than me. So I guess you kind of touched on it briefly then, but you guys speak quite openly about your struggles with self-love and body confidence after so many years in the modelling world. When did you first start to realise the pressure of what the industry was actually doing to you, and how did you begin to first make some changes?
Well, I suppose the pressure for me started when I went overseas. I never really had any issues with my body in Australia. I found that the market here was a lot more accepting of, and I mean, sample size here was size 10. So if you're anything smaller than that, they had to pin it on you. Which is when, especially when I was 18, that was happening back then. So I never ever felt that kind of major pressure of having to change who I was or anything for the industry as it was then. But as soon as I moved overseas, I did expect it to be different. I knew New York particularly was just a whole nother ball game. But I suppose I just wasn't expecting it to be as it was. So I was signed with an agency then, who kind of pretty much from day one when I walked in and they wanted to work with me, it was, they had a different idea of what they wanted of me, if that makes sense. I don't know. They kind of told me to start exercising but not doing what I was doing, because apparently my bum was too big, I must have been doing too many squats or something, and then I should start trying to just do running and like hot yoga. And I was so young and so new to the industry and so excited to be there that I was just like, yeah, sure, like I'll try and do whatever you say. I didn't stop squatting, but I did ramp up my exercise regime. So I was probably working out 4 or 5 times a week back in Australia, and then it turned into almost twice a day in New York, and where I was also continuously walking everywhere. Like there was days I wouldn't let myself get on the subway because I was just like, no, you haven't had time for your second workout today, so you're walking everywhere. And also, the way I was eating really changed. So I used to have quite a bit of balance in my diet when I was 18 compared to what I'm talking about right now. And then in New York, it became a lot more like not treating yourself in one bit. It was just eating healthy. I barely ate out. And when I did, I just had pretty much food anxiety the whole time of what was in my food. And I tried to get the healthiest thing, but no matter what I ordered, I'd always go home feeling like crap. And so it just really consumed me, and it consumed my mind. And I got to a point where I was the smallest I'd ever been. I was losing like quite a lot of weight. And they were measuring me, and I remember this one morning I went in there because they were measuring me about twice a week. And I was feeling really good, and they measured me, and my measurements had gone down quite a bit, and I got really excited because I thought, oh, now I can start working. They'll start sending me out to clients now. And they kind of just gave me a face, and they were like, great. So if you could just like keep going, maybe in a couple of weeks we can get you out there. And that really crushed me, because at that point I didn't feel like I could get any smaller. And I was also the most insecure I'd ever been. Walking to a casting or even going to the agency at that point, I'd get changed like 10 to 15 times to try and find an outfit that I felt comfortable in. And I never used to be like that. I grew up a very confident young girl, so it was really scary for me. I felt like it really changed who I was. So eventually I kind of made a decision, and with the help of like a trainer that I was working with over there, he kind of made me realize that I didn't need to do that. And if I was working well in Australia, then, you know, maybe that was what I should focus on. Which is true. I mean, I didn't run away from Australia and try and find work elsewhere because I didn't have anything going on here. It was more of just an experience I wanted to, have. And if it wasn't going the way I imagined it, I suppose, then that's the way it was, and I'll just head home and like keep working. So that's pretty much what I did. And then eventually when I came home, I tried to get that balance back into my life, but it wasn't easy. Like, it took quite a few years for me to get to a like healthy and happy point of like being okay in my own skin. Obviously gained the weight back from what I lost in New York, and just trying to find that balance. And over those years, I actually fell into a really bad habit of binge eating. And that definitely came from just being too strict, because anytime I was overly stressed about the way I was looking or, you know, my routine at all, I would just be so strict on myself that I would overeat on all the good stuff. And I would just tell myself that it was all okay because, you know, I wasn't eating anything bad. But when I'm saying I was overeating, it was like I'd have two or three breakfasts, like two or three lunches, nonstop snacks throughout the day. I'd have dinner and it was like two plates worth, and then I just wouldn't stop with dessert. It was all healthy, but it was just nonstop. And I was continuously thinking about food. I was even when I was having healthy food and telling myself, oh, like, okay, you've had like four snacks now, like maybe let's wait an hour until dinner. And then I wouldn't. I'd obviously fall in this kind of depressed state of, oh my God, why can't you just listen to yourself? Like, I was literally talking to myself. And that was a really bad pattern. And it led into some pretty unfortunate times where I was pretty depressed and pretty upset with myself, and had the worst confidence again, like just like in New York. But I was able to get out of that with a few different things. I suppose I never saw anyone professional about my problem. Like, I never went to a psychiatrist or anything like that, but a few PTs that I was working with really helped me, because they spoke about things like mindful eating, where you really focus on what you're doing at the time. You know, you're chewing your food, you're smelling it, you're tasting it, you're not just kind of shoving it down your gob and whatever. And I started to think more about like, okay, well, I wonder what this food is going to do for me. Is it going to give me energy for the day and all that sort of stuff? And that's really helped me. And still to this day, I think the biggest thing other than that that helped me was getting to a point where I was okay with like my body the way it was, because the stresses from me trying to change my body was obviously why I was trying to change my diet and be so strict. So as soon as I kind of let go of, okay, I'm never going to look like I was when I was 18, like that's just not going to happen. Your body's changed. You've grown into a woman. As soon as I let go of that stress, I started to treat myself now and then. I wasn't as strict on the food I was eating, and the binging kind of just stopped because I was fueling my body with what it needed and wanted. And yeah, I might have not been the lightest or skinniest or anything that I'd ever been, but I was at a really happy state, so I didn't feel the need to binge or anything like that. And that's kind of where I'm at today. So that's like, I suppose, my food and body image journey. Yeah.
Yeah.
So mine is a little bit, mine is still similar, I suppose, but also a little bit different. So my body image problems, I suppose, and my bad eating habits actually started when I started social media, or when I got my account. I started Instagram for the same reason as Steph, literally to filter my photos to post on Facebook and print screen them. So it wasn't for any other reason. And I then, when I did start modeling when I was 19, I felt a little bit of body pressure. And I think that was because I just thought you had to be very, very, very skinny to be a model. But what really, really started my habits was, or my bad habits, was social media and the accounts I was following. I started following a few models. Then I started following a few, like, special eating accounts like paleo or vegan and things like that. And I loved the way they all looked and I wanted to look like them. And so I became obsessed with them all. And I was following vegan, I was following paleo, I was following raw till 4, I was following macro counting accounts, I was following calorie counting accounts. And I was trying to maintain all of their diets at the same time, which left me with 5 foods I could really eat. And it was really, I think it just consumed me. And I was spending, I mean, when we grew up, we had, I had access to, I think, a Dolly magazine once a month, and I might have read it for 3 hours if I really read it slow. That's all I would get out of it. But with social media, I was spending 4 hours a day looking at these things that were putting pressure on myself. And I didn't know anything about the fact that people edited their photos, or I didn't really understand genetics. I mean, I'd done biology, I knew what genetics was, but I think when you're looking at it on social media, you just forget all of that. And you just think, I want to look like this person. And that for me made me start just developing bad habits. Like, I'd go out for dinner with friends and I'd say I'd already eaten because I couldn't control exactly what the restaurant put in my food. I would say no to some things because I knew there'd be junk food there, and I felt uncomfortable that I wasn't going to eat it, and I wasn't comfortable enough to say, oh, I'm trying to eat healthy, because I knew I really wasn't. I was just trying to deprive myself, so I just wouldn't go. I remember I was making breakfast, well, my ex-boyfriend, who we just started dating, he was making me French toast, and he had used so much oil, and I was watching him, and I remember just feeling so anxious about it. And because we just started dating, I wasn't comfortable to talk to him about it. So I ate it, but I just would chop it into really, really small pieces, so then it would look like I'd eaten it, because I physically struggled to eat that because I just didn't know how much was in it, and I didn't want to. I thought I'd put on weight from eating 1 tablespoon of oil, which is so untrue. And I was exercising a lot, like 2 hours at a time, and it was all for the wrong reasons. It wasn't for how I felt or to be happy. It was literally just to be skinny, the end. Anyway, meeting Steph really helped me with that. I think I learned, especially when I met Steph, she was still... I remember when I used to follow Steph and she used to post things like, oh, I'm being really healthy, I'll get banana bread from McDonald's for breakfast.
Oh my God.
Like when you were 17 or 18.
They were the days, weren't they?
So I think... So we've both learned so much since then, but I think meeting Steph, and Steph's obviously was such a successful model, and seeing that Steph ate like way more than most people that I'd ever met. She was a great eater. And I kind of thought, oh my God, okay, maybe I can eat normally. Steph eats normally. She's really good. And all the girls in Melbourne, that's what I found. Everyone has pretty healthy eating habits. So that was really good for me. But then I went overseas and modeled just as Steph did. And the pressure overseas is just totally crazy. My body naturally, I'm in my healthy weight range at the moment. But my weight that I had to be in Italy was about 8 to 10 kilos less than what I am now. So I think to push your body, and it's the same with Steph. I mean, she was exercising all day and hardly eating, and she still couldn't get to whatever they wanted. To get to a weight range that your body doesn't naturally sit into, you have to go through drastic measures to get there. And so I was eating like a yogurt, like a handful of nuts, but I got to the point where I'd count my nuts. Like I'd only have 7 because I knew any more would be too many calories. And fish, but only a little bit of fish because I didn't want to have too much because it was the highest calorie food that I was eating. It was just absolutely ridiculous. And I was exercising and going in the sauna and doing all these things to be able to lose weight. And I finally got to this ridiculous goal weight. And the thing was, I thought I would be so happy and so relieved and feel so good about myself and love every part of my body. But the thing was, when I got to this weight, I just was like, oh, okay. It was just this really empty, weird feeling of like, oh, I thought this would be better. And then I looked in the mirror and thought, oh, actually, you know what? I could still lose some more from my thighs, so maybe I should make this a bit less. And I think that was a big lesson for me, learning that now, well, at the time I didn't really realize, but now I look back on it, that, I mean, no weight will make you happy. It's not, there's, it's how you feel. And that's what, when I came back, I had learned. I came back to Australia and kind of started eating. I still eat, so I eat really well and I exercise same as Seth, but we have a lot more balance. And I went back into my balanced lifestyle and I put weight back on, but I just got to a weight range where I am now where I don't fluctuate very much. I might fluctuate between, you know, whatever, 5 kilos, everyone does, and that's where your range is. But I don't, and I can eat and whatever I want, and we have balance. And, you know, if I want to have chocolate, I'll have it. If I want to have a burger, I'll have it. And I'm not worried about gaining grams because of the fact that I've eaten that. And that has been very much thanks to Steph, because I think because we've both gone through it together, it's been really nice, I suppose, to be able to help each other with it. And then also our community, our Kit Girls, are just absolutely amazing. And the thing is, you never get to a point where, I don't think anyone has ever found like the perfect, perfect, perfect balance. We all have our days. That's, you know, but now I know when I have those days, I can log into this Kit Girls community, which, I mean, we've created and the girls look up to us, which is amazing. But we also get so much from them because they show us their balance and that they're, you know, if we read a post from someone who said they used to deprive themselves and not be able to eat anything, and then she's just had some chocolate and she feels okay and she's not punishing herself, like, it's the best thing to read in the world. And I think it's nice to just be able to read that kind of every day and remind ourselves, okay, like, that is what healthy is. And yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's amazing. I love how open and raw and honest you both were. It's really refreshing to hear, you know, you talk about the highlights, but then you also talk about the lowlights. And I know that our listeners will get so much out of that. So I just want to thank you so much. And it leads me into our next question, which is, your relatable, honest and genuine approach has really made you role models to so many, including social media influencers. What would you say have been some of your career highlights so far?
Oh, that's so hard. I mean, I think for us, what we've been able to do with the program and having our groceries in Coles are major highlights for us, I suppose. If you would ask me this question a couple of years ago, the first thing that would have come to my mind was any modelling jobs I was really proud of, which is where I think the biggest difference is now. I still love modelling and I still do modelling, and I want to for as long as I can. It's just something I really enjoy, but Kick is so important to me now that I think the biggest highlights come from the girls that we have. Honestly, like, to mini highlights of every day reading comments like what Laura just spoke about before, their little highlights in themselves, and they're incredible. But I suppose one that comes to mind pretty quickly was the other week we were at the Fitness Expo, and we had probably our first, you know, big event where we had... We ran a workout with all these girls at the Fitness Expo, and there was like 170 girls there. And a lot of them came up, probably about 100 of them came up afterwards for photos and say hello and everything. And although we only got like a minute or two with each of them, they all kind of, you know, said their thank you and that, you know, we've done something for them. And I suppose the biggest highlight of the day was probably there was this guy... And Laura's looking at me like, yeah, I knew you'd bring it up. This guy who, his girlfriend came and she looked very excited, but she was a little bit shy and gave us a hug and said hello. And he was taking the photos for her. And we noticed that he started to get real teary. And we weren't really sure why at the start. And we're like, oh, like, is everything okay? You're right. Like, come over here. And we gave him a cuddle. And then he just really started to cry, and it was so beautiful to see. And he just basically opened up to us and said, I just, like, I want to say thank you, like, you girls don't understand what you've done for her, and you make her so happy, so, like, thank you. And we both started crying, like, we couldn't handle it. It was the most beautiful thing. I mean, when girls come up to us and say that sort of stuff, that makes your week or your month. So they're probably like the most amazing highlights so far. Yeah,
for sure.
That's amazing.
That is, and I mean, mean, mine is, it's so funny when you sent through the questions, that was that moment that Steph just explained was the first thing that came to my mind. I think we're so lucky to be role models for so many young women. And while we, because we both have gone through what social media can do to you in a negative way, we just, we know we have this power, which we're so lucky to have, and we just want to use it in the best way possible.
Yeah,
so girls have an outlet to, you know, see that it's not all shiny and there, you know, there is realness behind everyone. But yeah, that moment was just, you just, I can't, it was such a beautiful, it's really cool.
We literally, like, in our vlog, we tried to talk about it afterwards and we just kept saying, like, I just can't even, like, we just couldn't, it just sounds ridiculous. We can't put words to that kind of feeling or experience, so. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing it with us. We really appreciate it. And I think it is, it's really amazing to watch your journey. And, you know, I often see other social media influencers or models who are much older than you girls and have maybe been in social media world a lot longer. And they're constantly posting about how you inspire them. And I think that, yeah, that's a really beautiful thing, that not only are you supporting these younger girls, you're supporting so many other women who are in business and probably have their own struggles as well. So yeah, congratulations on that, and keep doing what you're doing. It's really amazing. So we just want to talk now a little bit. We've both been in careers where we've had to travel a lot. So we kind of know the struggle of how do you fit it all in when you're tired and you're traveling. So obviously you guys both do have to travel a lot being models, and yeah, I'm sure with Kick as well. So can you share with us how you keep fitness going during those times, and also how you continue to eat healthy? Mm-hmm.
So yeah, do travel a lot, and it is hard sometimes, but I think if you're just prepared, then you can really get through it. And there's two different types of traveling for me. And I do look at them very differently, and I do, I suppose, act differently on them. Is one's when it's for work, and another is when I've gone away for a complete switch off kind of holiday with friends or family. So I'll go over the work one for starters. Obviously, when I'm traveling for work, I need my energy, or if it's for modeling, obviously I need to be in shape and everything like that. So my routine, I try not to change pretty much at all. I'll still try and work out 5 to 6 days of the week. Obviously, what I'm doing might change a little bit, but honestly, these days, my routine, probably four out of 7 of the days are Kick workouts. And the benefit of those workouts is that you can really do them anywhere. So I've done them before in hotel rooms and got it done. So it is, you know, you can do it if you don't have a gym or the weather's not great outside in whatever country you are. You can still get your sweat on and get a good workout in. So I suppose Kick's actually really helped me, obviously following my own program, when I'm traveling. Eating wise, I'll just make sure that I usually order the gluten-free thing on the airplane. One, the gluten upsets my tummy, but two, they seem to be lighter meals most of the time, or at least they come with like fruit and all that other options like that. And then on top of that, I'll just take things like Bliss balls that we've got now, protein bars, clean and healthy snacks, so that if what they do give me on the plane isn't something that I would usually eat or want to eat, I've got something else as another option. And then I suppose it's just taking the pressure off, knowing that you're not in your kitchen at home and you won't be able to make your breakfast or lunch and dinner every day. It's taking that pressure away. You might not be able to be completely on top of your routine when it comes to your diet when you travel, and that's just something you have to kind of accept and, you know, just eat healthy when you can and get the best options when you can, but also remember that it's not the end of the world if you can't. And I suppose that's leading into when I'm traveling for holidays, I definitely back off. And I would say if I'm away for 2 weeks, I might work out like 4 of the 7 days or 3 or 4 of the 7 days, not, you know, 6 days of the week. And that's just because it's not because you know, working out's like a punishment to me and I shouldn't have that on my holiday. I love working out. I love the way it makes me feel, but I also love spending time with my friends and family. And if it's not something that comes naturally to them, or they don't want to do it, and half the time when you're on holidays you're walking everywhere and you're doing other things that you may not necessarily do at home. So I think it's just about being in the moment and being in the time. If there is time to work out, then I will, but I try to take it out of my priority list a little bit and just enjoy myself. And the same is with food. If I'm somewhere that's got some amazing pizzas or crazy cool food that we don't have here, and I really want to treat myself, then I just will. And, you know, I might for a second come home and be like, ooh, maybe I should have stayed in routine a little bit. But that goes away pretty quickly. That used to be something that really was really hard for me. If I had a couple of days off and I was really bad, I had really bad kind of anxiety over like, oh my God, what have you done? This has just reversed everything you've done. But now it takes me about 60 seconds and then I'm just like, oh, it's all right. I'll just have a green smoothie and wake up tomorrow and get over it. So it's just about getting back in routine. So I suppose two tips would be not to put too much pressure on yourself, that you can't be on top of your diet particularly because you don't have your kitchen. But also you can be prepared for the plane trip at least. And then exercise, just do it when you can. Find things that you can do in your hotel room and everything, and you don't have an excuse.
Love it.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's not a lot to add. That was great.
Yeah, no, that was really good.
My biggest thing would just be, I suppose, with exercise, I do try and keep it up when I am traveling, especially for work. It's different when it's a pleasure, but it's harder to be motivated when you're away from home because you're not in your routine. It's easy to exercise when you're in routine, but when your routine is not there, it's very hard. So I think the biggest thing is just to remind yourself that you don't always need to have motivation to do a workout. I mean, if we were motivated to work out every time, or we waited for the motivation, we would probably only work out 2 out of 10 times. I mean, we don't wake up every day and think, oh my God, I
can't
just
wait to get
out
to the gym.
No, obviously sometimes we do, but there are days where you want to make an excuse because of the weather, or you're in a different city and you don't know where the gym is. But I think it's just prioritizing that, if you know it's going to give you energy for your work day, and just remembering you don't have to be motivated, you'll feel so much better afterwards, and just getting it done.
That's amazing. I actually took a lot out of that. I'm flying to Sri Lanka on Friday with my family.
Oh,
yeah, I'm so excited. And since I've started my own health and wellness journey, I knew that this would be a test for me to see how I can implement, eating in a healthy way while I'm away and exercising. So to be honest, as soon as I get out of here, I'm going to sign up to Kick Girls.
No!
And do the workouts while I'm away. And I actually also ordered the gluten-free meals on the plane. Yeah. So I'll let you know if I found that helped me as well. So just getting into our next question, what are some of your other daily health and mindset rituals that you swear by?
Drink lots of water is probably number one tip. For so many different reasons, whether it's like skin, digestion, hydration, all that sort of stuff. It's very important. What do you want to do, number two?
I don't actually, to be honest, I don't think we are really regimented on any. I think that's one thing that social media puts pressure on you to have, is to have this amazing morning routine that takes 5 hours, and you drink organic water and it's filtered in the Himalayan. I don't know if that makes sense, but you know what I mean? I feel like you have this pressure, but for us, I think, for both of us, it's to get our workout done. I have a lot of energy throughout the day if I've done that. That's my me time for the day, and that's probably the only thing I think with what we do, because our day has changed so much. If we get into too much of a routine, you put stress on yourself when you get out of it, and you can't really, when you can't control it. Drink water, try and eat healthy 80% of the time, get your workout in. I think that's
the main things
for us is what we do.
Yeah, and just make sure that you have me time. If exercise for you isn't your me time, then find what is, whether it's like reading a book or sitting in the park or whatever it is, find that time, particularly in a time like now where social media and we're all online so much with our phones and everything, particularly for someone like us who more than half of our business is on our laptops and our phone, it is important to find those times where you do switch off. They're probably the biggest things we try and keep to every day.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. I love that advice so much. I feel like sometimes you get so surrounded. I know when Amy and I were starting out, really focusing on our health and wellness, it was like, oh, well, I have to get up early and I have to do, certain things to make me feel good, when sometimes I just actually love being in my pajamas till 11 o'clock and sitting on my laptop in bed and doing my work. So it's like, I don't, whether other days I'm like, I love just getting up and walking with no music and walking slow. It might not even be doing much, but I'm moving my body, which I really love. So thanks for sharing that, because I think it is really important that, we don't get overwhelmed by the fact of we have to have this set routine or these things that we have to do every day to make us healthier and 100%. Stuff.
I mean, there's still, if you find things that work for you, definitely implement them in, but don't feel that you have to do it every single day and you need to add more or whatever. Just find what works for you, I think.
That's yeah, awesome. I love that.
Yeah, I really, really love that too. So before we let you go, we'd love to ask you just a couple of quick questions. We always find that these are our favourite questions and we always get a lot of gold and usually then go and implement them into our own lives. So what would you say is your number one health tip?
Drink water. I'm like, I don't know. Like,
no, that's so a good many, one.
But I'll just, that can be mine.
And mine's find balance.
Yeah.
Find balance. Well, on balance, what would you say is one thing that we can all do to bring more balance to our life so that the hustle can be healthy?
One thing. I suppose right back into that me time, if you kind of schedule in that me time where you're really thinking for yourself and not thinking about anything else that you need to do or get done or whatever, it's just that quiet time by yourself. Usually things come to mind that remind you of if you're off balance anywhere, you might realize that you've been stressing a bit too much about work or that, you know, you've been stressing too much about working out or food and all that sort of stuff. And I think when you have that me time and you get that included in your routine, you really start to figure out and find that balance. And I know that sounds like really weird and holistic and everything like that, but it really does make sense when you do switch off, you can kind of see a lot clearer and just know what needs to be done to then find the balance. So
yeah, absolutely. Because
there's not one thing, you know, everyone's balance is different. You know, you could be really stressing about work, whereas another person could be really stressing about food or whatever. So it's hard to have this one rule of what's going to make you more balanced. But I think if you do implement that me time, it's generally comes to you. Yeah.
100%. And another thing I think would be to find when you are the most productive in the day and try and make sure you're at your laptop or at your desk, or if you can, obviously sometimes you can't control it at those times, because you can get 2 hours of really good work done, or you can get 6 hours of work done, but actually only get 2 hours done and waste 4 extra hours. So I think if you are busy, like I know a lot of people listening, especially when you first start a business passion project, you're also working full time at the same time. So it's finding the times when you can be productive and making the most of that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And this is my favorite question. What advice would you give to your younger self?
Just to stay childish for as long as you can and just have fun. No, I honestly, one of my biggest issues was trying to grow up too quickly. I think when I was in high school, I just tried to act and be a lot older than I was. And now it's funny, sometimes I act a lot younger than I am. So it's like, I don't want to grow up. And I kind of wish that I didn't try to do that earlier. So just enjoy the childhood things that, that you do and don't try and grow up too quickly, because it will come and it will happen. Yeah.
And mine would be to, as we said at the start, just get started. I think it's okay to fail. If you fail at things, you learn. The things I failed in my life, I've learned so much from it. And so that's the biggest thing is, yeah, just start. Because if you don't, I mean, if we had not started, if I hadn't started my blog, if we hadn't done the book, because we listened to the voices in our head, the negative voices, I don't know what we'd be doing, but we wouldn't be doing Kick Girls right now. So I think it's just get started and say yes.
Yeah, amazing. That's great. And I think that is, you know, so everyone can take a bit of advice from that, because we all have those negative thoughts in our head, and it's just get started. I always hear the one about done is better than perfect. Mm-hmm. And I try to remind myself of that so much. Yeah. Because yes, exactly. Okay, probably a lot of our podcast journey to come. No, that's awesome. And then finally, our last question for all the foodies out there, what does a day on your plate look like?
Well, I mean, my day on a plate changes a lot depending on where I am in the world, as we spoke about earlier. But generally, I have a late breakfast around like 9:30, 10 every morning. Usually after a workout, I'll have like a protein smoothie, or if I'm a little bit hungrier, I'll have porridge. I love porridge. And then around lunchtime, I generally go for eggs with either a grain salad, or if I'm feeling extra hungry, some gluten-free toast and some avocado. And then in the afternoon, I love our Bliss Balls and Protein Bar. They're the best pick-me-up, and they're super filling. And then at nighttime, I'm just a meat and veg kind of girl. So whether that's like a roast or a barbecue or whatever it is, that changes all the time. I do eat red meat. I I eat everything. So whatever I feel like that night. And then I cannot finish the day without something sweet. So whether that's like a little bit of dark chocolate or some frozen fruit or something like that. Unless I'm really treating myself, then I'll have like some normal chocolate. Or we have our Radical Rocky Road from the program, which is probably my biggest addiction. I make that maybe once a week and it doesn't last very long. And then peppermint tea. That's pretty much my downer plate, yeah.
And mine is, I think we spend so much time together now. A lot of your answers, I'm like, yeah, that's exactly the same as mine. And so my downer plate is really similar. I listen to my body in the morning as to when I'm hungry. So I don't eat as soon as I get up. I'll do my workout. I'll have my coffee. And then when I start to feel hungry, I'll have breakfast. I have start with a smoothie or some eggs or something like that. Eggs and salmon and avocado or really nutrient-packed protein smoothie, and then I'll have lunch. This is our biggest difference. I love leafy salads. Steph just doesn't like them as much. So.
But she just likes kind of like the icebergy leafy salad with tuna. Crunchy. Like it's just.
Anyway, so I'll have my salad, and then afternoon snack always the Blissful. They're my favorite. They're so yummy, and because it's full of almonds and really healthy fats, they keep me going until dinner. And then dinner will be whatever random thing I decide to make. Usually meat and veg, same as Steph.
Mm.
And it's been really good having our kick planner because we have all the recipes in there. So if I can't think of something, I'll always just look at the dinner options and get some inspiration. Some inspiration from there.
That's amazing, Steph. I'm with you on the leafy salads. I'm not a massive fan of leafy salad.
My salads need like quinoa or rice and nuts and like a whole lot of other stuff going on, or like cheese even. I just can't do like an iceberg and tuna salad. It's not.
I added more.
That's great. Well, thank you both so, so much for joining us today. We have absolutely loved getting to know you both, and we can't wait to keep following your journey, and we'll be there on the sidelines cheering you on.
Oh, thank you so much.
Please keep doing what you're doing because you're absolutely amazing. Well, and we love you.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you leave us a 5-star review and subscribe so you can keep up to date with our new episodes each week. For a dose of weekly happy, healthy news, you can subscribe to our newsletter via our website at thehealthyhustlers.com. Until next week, make sure that you're investing in yourself to keep the hustle healthy.